Invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning, if you have them with you, to Luke chapter 14, Gospel of Luke chapter 14. And we'll read those first 14 verses together. Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guest picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Pray with me. God, we thank you for your word, and we open up our hearts and our lives to you, and we ask that you would work in us what you desire. We need to be transformed. We are not yet who you want us to be. And there is distance between what our lives are like day to day and what you desire for them to be. And so, God, we invite you to do your transforming work in us by the Holy Spirit. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, and that the outcome of these moments together would not be just that we know more information about you or about the scripture, but that we are changed. God, make us more like Jesus, so that more and more who he is would be evident in who we are and in how we live. And so we pray in his name. Amen. Well, there has been a lot of talk in the news lately about upward mobility. There has been, as there ought to be, conversation about the growing gap in our nation between those who have a lot of the things of this world and those who don't have very much at all. And there has been a thriving discussion about how to fix that in different solutions being proposed by different political parties, and a conversation about what kind of government initiatives can be created to bring about, I think the phrase these days is, paths into the middle class. And so there's a lot of conversation about what it means to be upwardly mobile, to move up in the world, to come up to a better place in our society. Jesus doesn't really seem to care about that very much, does he? Understand, by no means am I suggesting, as a matter of fact, the opposite, that we ought not to care about social inequality, that we ought not to speak up for the needs and the rights of the poor, and that we ought not to reflect God's own compassion for people who are suffering. But Jesus seems to be particularly indifferent to American dreams of material prosperity as the purpose of life. Jesus has better plans for you and for me. In the beginning of this passage, it says Jesus is being carefully watched. We know that his phone's not being tapped by the National Security Agency. We know that nobody is harvesting his Google clicks or anything like that. But still in all, he is being carefully watched by the teachers of the law, by the Pharisees. And they're watching him to see if he's going to misbehave. They're watching him to see if he's going to do something that they believe is illegal or immoral to do on the Sabbath. And so they've rounded up this man who has what the scriptures describe as an abnormal swelling of his body. I think this is a little bit different than if you're trying to lose those last 15 pounds at the gym. This is some sort of serious disease. Now, this man that they've found and that they bring to Jesus, it's interesting. They don't see him. They don't see him as a person. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they see this man just as a way to trap Jesus, just as a test case, just as some sort of case study that they can put in front of Jesus, and there, based on his reaction, they can indict him as a lawbreaker. And Jesus sees this man, and he doesn't see him as a test case. He doesn't see him as just someone that's there in front of him. He sees him as a human being, someone who is made in the image of God. The first thing that this scripture invites us to this morning is to stop living by the world's rules. Just to experience God's liberation when we stop living by this world's rules, to experience God's liberation when we stop living the way that this world tells us that we ought to. Because you see, the way that the world tells us to live is that we ought to measure our value and our worth, that we ought to measure our importance based on what we've got and who we can tell what to do. And Jesus says, look, that's not how it is. The scripture says here that Jesus tells a parable, and we're used to, when Jesus tells a parable, that it's going to be this made-up story about the kingdom of God that's going to teach us a principle about how the kingdom of God works. But it sounds instead more like Jesus is giving kind of etiquette advice for when you get invited to a party, this is what you do. But you see that this is, just like all the rest of Jesus' parables, this is a subversive story that reorients our perspective and changes how we see not just the world, but how we see ourselves, and most importantly, how we see God. How we see who God is. Because Jesus says there that the world teaches us that we need to seek to honor ourselves. We need to seek to be the most important person in the room. We need to be the one that everybody else stops talking and stands up when we come into the room. But Jesus says, no, there is a different way to live. Jesus says there is a better way to live. And he gives this strange advice about how when you're invited to the banquet, you take the lowest place. Well, here's the thing. We don't get invited to a lot of banquets, do we? And if we do get invited to a banquet, usually, to tell the truth, we're sitting at a round table, right? It's got a number on it. We've probably paid a lot of money to sit at that banquet table, so we're going to sit there, darn it. And so, how do we put this into practice? How do we live out the truth of what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is talking about is that we can be free from the constraints of this world's definition of success by being downwardly mobile, by lifting other people up, by setting other people above ourselves, and by esteeming them above ourselves. Now, we each have opportunities to put this into practice. How many of you started back to school this week? Raise your hand. Yeah. Nathan, you started to put your hand up, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah. But, okay. Kind of. In school, there's a pretty rigid pecking order, right? Down at the bottom, who do you have? You have freshmen. And nobody wants to be a freshman, right? It's a fate worse than death. And when you quit being a freshman, you know that you've arrived, you're a sophomore, and that way you're sort of in that middle, and nobody's noticing you very much, and you can be a little bit more anonymous. And then you know that one day, if you just keep putting on your backpack, one day you're going to go to school, and you'll be a senior. And then everybody will notice you, and you'll be the focus of the whole life of the school. What if, instead of just counting down the days until you got to be a senior, what if instead of just saying, how can I be anonymous, how can I be inconspicuous, what if you looked around for the people who get shoved to the margins of school and you said, I'm going to reach out and I'm going to care for them. I'm going to be a friend to the friendless. I'm going to be somebody who speaks up for those who get shoved to the side. That's a way for you who are students to embrace what Jesus is talking about when he says, choose the lowest place for yourself. Choose the lowest place for yourself. That's a way that you can experience the liberation of God by rejecting the rules of the world, the rules of school, in terms of that social hierarchy that nobody talks about but is everywhere present. And you would like to think, right, that when you graduate from school, when you stop going to school, you go out into the working world and everything is marvelously egalitarian, that everyone is equal with everyone else. Now, those of us who live in a workplace know that's not how it is, right? It's something ingrained in us as human beings. It's something about how we are bent and broken and busted, that we like to create pecking orders, that we like to create hierarchies. And so in workplaces, we find there are some people who are more important than other people. Some people become important because they exercise leadership, because they demonstrate reliability. Some people become important in a workplace because they're the people who complain the most, right? And so everybody learns to kind of look out for them, and you need to allow extra time and you need to allow extra energy for these people because they are the ones who complain. And so we need to, you know, kind of guard our time around them and protect ourselves from them, or we're going to spend half a day listening to how the world is not how they would like it to be. Jesus says that we can experience God's liberation when we stop living by those kinds of hierarchies, when we stop living by those kinds of rules. We can be compassionate. We can change the way that we perform so that we're not looking to be the most important person in our workplace, so that we can be the ones who are reaching out with compassion to others. What would that look like for you this week at work? What would that look like if you said, I'm gonna do my job with excellence, I'm gonna do my job with passion, I'm also going to look around and I'm going to see the hurt in the lives of the people around me, and I'm going to reach out to them with kindness and care. That's what Jesus is inviting us to in this parable, is he's inviting us to take that lower place, to take that place of servanthood, to take that place of caring. Because the other thing that this passage talks about is it talks about how we can share God's liberation by recognizing the God-given value in those around us. we can experience God's liberation by recognizing the God-given value in those around us. That's what Jesus is saying. They bring this man to him, and they don't really care, do they, what happens to this man. They're just, you know, they're trying to get Jesus in a corner. And Jesus looks at this man, and he sees him as someone made in God's image. He sees him as the recipient of God's fierce love, and he stretches out his hand, and he heals him and sends him on his way. You see people every day who are in pain. You see people every day who are hurting, and you have a choice. You can either see them as a means to an end, or you can see them as an end in themselves. You can see those people just as, you know, this is somebody who's on my to-do list. I've got to deal with them. I've got to interact with them. I've got to talk with them, and then I can move on to the next thing. Or maybe they can do something for me. They can help me with my tasks. They can help me with my agenda. They can help me move ahead. They can help me move up. And so you see them as a means to an end. There is some place that I want to get. There is something that I want to do, and this person can help me with it. Or you can see them as a person who's valuable to God just as they are. You can see them as a person who is loved by God, not for what they do, but for who they are, just because they are God's daughter, just because they are God's son. And you can treat them as an end in themselves. You can treat them as someone who is worthy of love and kindness and compassion. You know, we sing a song here that starts out, everybody needs compassion, a love that's never ending. And that is exactly the truth, and that's what we see in this parable. Jesus tells the host, there are things that we've learned to say, right, to our host when we get invited over to somebody's house for dinner. We've learned to say, oh, this is great, your home looks so nice, this is a wonderful meal, thank you so much for inviting me. This is not the tack that Jesus takes, is it? He says, look, next time you do this, you've got this all wrong, because you've invited a bunch of people who could invite you back. And if you invite people who invite you back, then you're missing out, because if you invite them, they're going to invite you, and it's just going to become this whole reciprocal thing where you will get paid back for your generosity. But, Jesus says, there are some people to whom you can show compassion. There are some people to whom you can be generous who can't do anything for you. And then he lists them off. He says, you can find the blind, you can find the crippled, you can find the poor, you can find the lame, you can invite them. How hard would that be for us to really do? I mean, what would happen if we so altered the trajectory of our lives, if we so altered our daily living, that we began to live the kinds of lives that connected with these people that Jesus is talking about? That we were actually connected not just with other people living, you know, comfortable middle-class lives, but that we were connected with the poor and the lame and the blind and the crippled. What would it mean for you this week if you said, my goal is to do things for people who can't do anything for me? I want to serve people who can't repay me in any way possible. I want to do things so that nothing comes back to me as a reward. You have opportunity to do that every day. There are people that God puts in your path to serve if you will make that space in your life for God to use you to bless them. If you will choose that path of downward mobility. Amen.